So again, this presentation, we presented it to within NASA, and a lot of people, you guys get it, I think, that society has shifted from a physical-based to an informational-based society. It's an application of knowledge and a manipulation of that information. People are that source of the critical skills and knowledge that we need to shift into to have a competitive advantage in this. So the worker looks a lot different than the worker did in the past. Where, when, and how we work is less important. These collaborative systems are reshaping that world and putting the power in the hands of individuals. So companies everywhere, and NASA isn't the only one, is trying to leverage the shift. Technology, demographics, and behaviors are all changing, and what we're doing here is almost an instantiation of that. We are giving our time on a weekend to raise the bar of how science data is used to connect with people. And so that's the context of what OpenGov is trying to do, is trying to create that shift within an agency that's had had quite the history of operating in a different manner. So Open Government Directive was one of the first actions that President Obama took as he entered the White House, and he put it out to all the executive agencies, be more transparent, be more collaborative, be more participatory. Well, what does that mean? The last couple of years, year and a half, teams have worked out, well, what does this mean to the executive agencies? It means to increase transparency and accountability of external stakeholders, enable citizen participation, improve internal collaboration, encourage partnerships, create economic opportunities. Now, I'm reading these, I know you can read them, but this is all of government has accepted this. And so as open as we can be, we're trying to, you don't see DoD doing this, but you do see the ones that can. I mean, NASA should be a participatory agency. And really, the barriers that have stood in the way so far were some of those legacy, secretive habits that don't always need to be there. In some cases, they do, but we like the default to be our data is open, out there, ready to use, and then if need be, we'll close it up. So what does this mean to NASA? Well, we've had three kind of flagship initiatives. The Nebula Cloud Computing Platform was developed open source. It's actually rolled out and being used within NASA. And we can get you more information on that if you want. The open source idea is something that we've tried to push within NASA to create policy so that programming, so that software can be developed in an open source environment. Right now, the policies say you cannot do it, period, and it's illegal. It's obviously outdated, and there are applications that this can be used for and can really raise the bar for the quality of the software. Participatory exploration is more of a shotgun approach. You know, everything that we do has some part of it that can use citizen scientists, citizen explorers to help that mission out with. And so it's not just, we try to stress, it's not just posting something on a website or talking to a group of students. It's actually asking them how they want to be involved and then involving them and then using their data and using their time, their expertise, and their experience, and having that give us a better product that then we can turn around and show the world, hey, look what happened when we got help from the public. So participatory exploration, like I said, it's all about citizen engagement. Realizing best solutions may not be coming from inside NASA. You call what you want, but it's that using of more minds than we can possibly have within one agency. It's kind of the system is creating the systems to make that happen, and it's about that process. So what we're doing internally is intentionally releasing more high-value data sets. What does that mean, high value? We have no clue, and we need that from you guys. We need to know what's interesting, what's effective if we were to open it up, and maybe what's out there, and it's in such a format that you can't really do anything with it. And we'll say, oh yeah, well that Kepler data is out there, and you guys are like, well, I can't use it because it's not in this format. We need to know that. And so I'd like to ask you to write down, if we had some more people trickle in, write down on this sheet of paper, and I'll try to type it down if you just come to me either now or afterwards. And I want to bring that back to the folks I work for at headquarters and say, you know, listen, this is what people are actually, with fingers to the keyboard, really want. So let's try to make that a high priority. So we're also, the other things we're doing is aggressively pushing for open source and creating some participatory opportunities. So it's all about, we consider being government in beta, you know, an asset in beta. It's, we'd like to never move from that in some parts, you know, always be in beta and constantly push for continuous internal improvement. So that's it. I really like to, now maybe we can go around the room and say what you've maybe worked with NASA data and what's been the challenge, and or maybe you tried to, you say, oh, this data must exist in NASA, and you've looked and it wasn't there. And then after you say something, maybe you can go write it down and I'll bring that physical sheet back with me to NASA on the plane. So anyone have any ideas? Have I spawned any thoughts about what's challenging about using NASA data?
I have a thought. Mount the historical data, the stuff that's still on tapes. Get it in format, in a place and in a format where it can be used today. NASA has been doing stuff for 50 years, and I know that a lot of the stuff, some of it has been lost, and others of it has been close.
Yeah, I actually toured the facility where they hold some of the Apollo tapes, and they have to keep it to 2 degrees Fahrenheit.
And they can't find some of them.
Yeah, and we obviously don't want that to happen.
It's a historical resource, but also it's a scientific resource. There are parts of there are images of the moon that might be useful for comparative data, mm-hmm. even though we have better ones today.
Mm-hmm. So specifically, images or telemetry?
The whole works. You never know. I mean, it's not as though there's a whole. It's not as though there's a vast repository of space data from the 1960s. It's not as though there's a chance to get duplicates. I would say. Put the historical data online.
Okay, so images.
Yes, images primarily.
Primarily, okay. All right, and then anyone else who has other ideas of historical types of data, come and put it up. What else?
You said telemetry, I'm going to write that down.
Telemetry.
That would definitely be interesting.
There's a big format issue. Well, it's not telemetry.
Yeah,
yes,
so
I know. But that's part of the thing that you need to think about.
I've got kind of canonical dumb question. Part of it is not having tried to use anything in probably the last 5 years and having been confused whenever I tried before. A lot of great resources are out there, but it's hard to figure out where they are, how to find them, what's up, what's not. Is there a central place that you go now?
There is one. We're giving it a shot. So NASA.gov is our primary, but then go to nasa.gov/open/data.html, and we've created a page that just brings together all of the data that's out there now. It's not going to be comprehensive. It's there's a link to data.gov on there, which then shows the different, there's raw data, there's tools, and then geodata, those three categories. NASA only has a lot of geodata because that we deal with a lot of Earth observation, but the raw data, we actually only have 3 sets out there right now. So we want to think of things like telemetry from legacy spacecraft that can maybe be opened up to the public.
And I was going to just say to Baldwin, that's wonderful, and I know coming from being a performance bureaucrat, right, and having worked for NASA, that whenever you do something, you always think about it in a certain way, and you've got your own hierarchy of doing it. It'd be wonderful to have like a really nice open Web2O tagging of that data where it's, and just some good creative tags and letting people tag who are looking at it. Somebody is looking at something and thinking about, oh, this is telemetry. Somebody else is like, oh, hey, this is great physiology data for me. And somebody else is going to call it something else. And being able to pull one of those tags and see all the words.
I'm personally curious about Kepler data, since there's mountains of it, and it seems like that's something that's very good for sourcing.
Okay.
Two things really. So one of the challenges that involves borrowing data from other people is that, is that sometimes there's the descriptors, the column headings and whatnot are a little bit confusing. And when I borrow data from a colleague, I can just walk down the hallway and say, what does this stand for? Right? But if you're someone completely unrelated, that's not going to be possible. So
okay.
some method of
okay, and can come up
yeah.
and expand on this.
In that same context, there was a period of time which when hits scientific instruments flew on NASA spacecraft under the auspices of an instrument developed perhaps by a university or some other organization. The telemetry data, the raw data from the instrument would be something that NASA would have records of, but the calibration data for the instrument often was something that only the university possessed. Thus, for the data to be useful, you might have to make a considerable effort to recover the calibration data, which would include going to the original institutions that did the science, asking, please, may we have copies of it? We didn't think to keep them when we gave it to you, or we never had it.
Okay. That falls in the historical thing, too. That's great, great. I had not thought of it. Anything else? We got like a minute and a half left. So,
some real-time stuff from the human spaceflight and also other launches, like mission clock timings and what is actually happening now. There was a Delta II that launched a couple weeks ago, but when was what was the scheduling like, and all that kind of administrative overhead for launches.
Okay.
And I deal with a lot of data from the government. I think actually NASA does probably the best job. We definitely use Whirlwind, and we use a ton of we use all those APIs. We have built our own applications on the source code that you guys released. So thanks for all that.
The further NASA stays out in front, the more it shames everybody else into doing a good job.
That's good to hear.
You
definitely want to raise the bar.
We use a lot of your imagery and stuff that you take in here, and definitely we use the space shuttle, the elevation data that you scanned, and that's so that's wonderful. So thanks for all that.
Yeah, for expect memories, I worked STS 99 when SRTM went up, and even before the mission was over, we had these full color topography maps that were just
every day.
Awesome. Great to hear. That's all the time we have, but I will leave this up, and then if any of the other speakers need it, we'll just rip this page off and hang it up somewhere. But please come up, and this is going to go back in front of headquarters personnel at NASA, and I will physically show them this. So this is your chance to get the message directly there. Thank you very much for your time.